In response to his shout, his sister, Mariotta, came from the kitchen carrying a plate of eggs and bacon in one hand and a pot of coffee in the other.
"You are late," she said.
"I know," Jeremy replied, "but I lay in bed thinking that there was nothing to get up for and wondering how we could make some money."
Mariotta laughed. "That is not in any way an original thought."
"I know," Jeremy said gloomily, as he started to eat the eggs and bacon.
Mariotta sat down at the table and, having poured out a cup of coffee for her brother, did the same for herself.
"I was thinking," Jeremy went on, "that if I sold one of the miniatures, which I believe would fetch a fairly good price, nobody would know."
Mariotta gave a cry of horror.
"But we should all know," she protested. "And you know as well as I do that not only would Papa be furious, but you would also be stealing."
"There is nothing wrong with stealing from oneself," Jeremy argued sulkily.
"It would not only be from you," Mariotta said, "but from your son, your grandson, and all the generations that come after them."
"As things are, it's very unlikely that I shall be able to afford a son," Jeremy retorted. "Let alone a grandson."
He finished his eggs and bacon and sat back in his chair.
"Seriously, Mariotta, we have to do something. I need some new clothes, not because mine are old, but because I've grown out of them."
Mariotta knew this was the truth and made a helpless little gesture with her hands.
"I'm sorry, Jeremy. You know I am. But we can hardly afford to eat, let alone buy anything to wear." "Is there nothing Papa can do about it?" Jeremy inquired.
"You think of something," Mariotta replied, "and I will talk to him about it, if he will listen to me."
"Even if he does, I doubt if he will understand the straits we are in," Jeremy said angrily.
There was a little pause. Then his sister said,
"I don't think that's true. Papa does understand, and because it hurts him to see the house going to rack and ruin and to listen to us complaining, he tries to live in a world of his own, with his books. It's the only way he can forget Mama."
Mariotta's face softened as she spoke of their mother, and Jeremy was silent until he exclaimed,
"We have to do something. How much longer can we go on like this?"
Mariotta asked herself the same question not only every day and every night, but also every hour. The Fords had lived at Queensford, their beautiful, rambling and very large but inconvenient house, since it had been built in the reign of Queen Elizabeth. But each generation had grown successively poorer and poorer. When their father, Lord Fordcombe, had inherited the title and the estate, they found that his father had run up a mountain of debts during the last years of his life. Everything that was saleable and was not entailed onto the next heir had been sold, and even then the creditors had been forced to accept 10 shillings in the pound, thinking that half a loaf was better than no bread at all. The new Lord Fordcombe had been left with the income from the capital his wife had brought with her marriage settlement, and which was settled on his children when he died. This brought in little more than £200 a year, and his only other source of income was the meagre rents from his farms and some better properties on his estate. The cottages, of which there were quite a number, were either occupied by pensioners or were in such a dilapidated state that only those who were otherwise destitute were willing to live in them. The lack of money affected his three children to the point of desperation. Jeremy was now 21, but he could not afford to enter a regiment, as his forebears had done, and he resented violently having to live at home with only old hobbledehoy horses to ride, and nothing to do from morning until night except catch fish from the river and shoot in the woods. This turned what had been an enjoyable sport into a monotonous necessity. For Mariotta, it was different, because since they could only afford to keep one old couple to run the house, the rooms would have been inches thick in dust if she had not constituted herself housekeeper, housemaid, butler, footman, and valet to her father and brother, besides being at times a cook when anything special was required. Because she was practical and organized herself in what had to be done.